Amid all the ups and downs in the stock market, job growth in August remains steady. I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We learned today that U.S. companies added 190,000 jobs in August. That's according to ADP's survey of private sector payrolls. That was a little short of expectations. For a check-in on jobs and markets, we're joined by Jeffrey Cleveland. He's chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Noelle.
So U.S. markets are up today, despite a third straight day of losses in Asia. Are we past the concerns over slowing global growth?
Perhaps. The latest set of data tells us Americans are still being hired at a pretty good rate, that Americans are, showing up to work and being quite productive, and they're lining up for mortgages with the index looking at refis and new mortgages jumping during the previous week. At least on the growth front, maybe some of the fears about an economic slowdown have been overhyped.
And of course, we're keeping an eye out for Friday's monthly jobs report. What are you expecting there?
Well, this morning's report, we saw about 190,000 jobs during the month of August. We're expecting something similar, maybe a little bit higher, in Friday's government payroll report. And more importantly for me, we could wake up Friday morning and see that the unemployment rate in the U.S. is 5.2%, which is well below long-term averages. And I think you have to wonder, will the Fed, at its next policymaking meeting just 3 weeks from now, keep the federal funds rate near zero when you have a 5.2% unemployment rate? I think that's the big question.
Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Noelle.
Of course, when we talk about job creation, some economists would say you also have to ask what kinds of jobs are being created and how much do they pay. Questions like that and concerns over growing economic inequality have sparked a movement to raise the minimum wage in states across the country. A few months ago, Walmart, the country's biggest retailer, raised the minimum wage for its employees to $9 an hour. Then, just yesterday, Walmart said it's cutting hours for workers at an undisclosed number of stores across the country. Sally Hershey looks at what's behind the move.
Walmart has been having a problem. Customers don't like waiting.
The number one complaint people have about Walmart is it takes too long to give you my money.
Charles Fishman is author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works. He says the way you fix that problem is by having more workers at the checkout line. But more hours for workers who've just been given raises can create another problem.
It's more expensive to pay people more, at least at the start.
Walmart's planning to spend an additional $1 billion a year on wages, but says at the same time it needs to control costs. And that includes trimming workers' hours in a small number of stores that have gone over budget. Enrico Moretti teaches economics at the University of California. He says Walmart is trying to reinvent itself.
From a low-margin, low-profit, very cheap store to one where customer experience is better.
But that costs money. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Today, September 2nd, is the 70th anniversary of the formal surrender of Japan that ended World War II. Central to the war effort here at home were war bonds. The U.S. sold more than $150 worth of bonds to help fund the war and fight inflation. Today, we hear from a gentleman named Ken McGee, who sold war bonds as a child.
I'm Ken McGee, B. Kenneth McGee, 84 years old, live in the middle of the woods, near a little crossroads, which is called Centerville, North Carolina, and that's like in the middle of nowhere. In 1944, I was 13 years old. My dad was Irish Catholic. My mother was Jewish. And my dad had very strong feelings about the war. My mother had people in the camps, some which got out, some which didn't. So, of course, we felt very strongly about the war. Dad was really too old to go back in, but he volunteered to go back in. He was gone for probably 2 or 3 years. He was at D-Day in Normandy plus a couple of days. He was in all the major battles. I'll never forget the day the Normandy invasion began. I think my mom and I listened to the radio all night because it was probably about 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I remember listening and wondering if Dad was on that Those are very, very scary days. I felt that I had to do more than just collect tinfoil, like all the other children were doing, for the war effort. So I went in and volunteered in the war bond effort. And I actually went door to door selling war bonds. And you could do that in those days, a little boy, going door to door. They were $18.75 each. I think maturity date, they were supposed to be $25. I was so thrilled to be doing it. And I think I can still remember the day. I actually sold 10 bonds in one day. I thought I was a hero. But, you know, I think a lot of people were buying those not as an investment, but as really a contribution to the war. You know, in those days, that was our lives. We were consumed by the war. If you weren't at war, you felt like you had to find something to do to contribute, you know.
That was Ken McGee speaking to Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. Coming to you from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey, I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.